Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight. In this 15-minute empowerment, we're going to be encouraged in our walk of faith. We're going to be encouraged in the process of our lives, the process and the place that God has called and commissioned us to, this place where he gets glory out of our life, that many people are saved, many people's lives are changed and empowered by your life, because you are the salt, you are that which God uses to manifest himself in the earth. And as we obediently trust God, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith. And it is a marvelous thing because God always chooses unlikely people to do a great work for him. And as we depend solely on him to perform, to do, and we obediently trust him, we see the manifestation of his power, his glory, his strength, his word, his life, his truth in our life. So it is amazing that God chooses us and he uses us for his glory. But as he does, he takes us through the process. And this process is where he strips us. He makes us see things as he sees it. He causes our heart to be his heart, his mind to be our mind, and his way to be our way. And we delight to do it. We delight to do his will because of the grace that we've received through salvation, because of that unmerited favor that he's given us. By faith, we have the power now to do good works in his name for his glory. We have been looking at unlikely blessings, and this place of unlikely blessings, we started off in the book of Esther and seeing how God uses people in unlikely predicaments to bring blessings to their life. We went last week and we talked about Joseph, and this week we're talking about Jacob, and we're talking about the character change. We're talking about a character issue that is changed and God blesses in an unlikely way. So we're going to go back and pick this up again and look at Jacob, and we're going to get some more information and just hear some more about this place of unlikely blessing. And we said yesterday, going back and recapping, Isaac pleaded with and prayed passionately for his wife and pleaded for her to have a child. And this took 20 years for the it took 20 years for this to happen. He was when he started pleading for her and pleading for her to have children, he was 40 years old, and God allowed him to have what he asked for. And so we understand that there are times in our life that we will have to wait on some things that God tells us to do, but we have to know that God is faithful to do everything that he said. When the children are in Rebecca's womb, we find out that there is a war going on, and even in the womb, the two of them are competing with each other. And the Lord lets Rebecca know that there is a nation, two nations in her womb. When God gives us the word, he always speaks to our present tense, but he also talks to our future to let us know what direction we're going and what he's going to do in our lives. So we have to trust that when God speaks something to us, that he's faithful to bring it to pass. When, as the twins grew and it was time for them to be born, we understand that twins in the Bible means blessings. Children always mean blessing, but twins means like a double blessing, that God has favored you twice. And so we see here that she's given birth to twins. There's a blessing on it. Esau was very hairy, and he was red, and Jacob was not, but he was grabbing and grasping at the heel of his brother, hanging on to the heel of his brother when they were born. And so Jacob's name, we understand the son, we know it means to plan a trickster, but also in some interpretation, it means he who grasped at the heel of another. And we understand that that's what he did when he was giving birth, when he was giving birth to. And in Genesis 27:36, we see that Esau was taught Jacob about his name. But we see in Genesis 32:28, God gives Jacob a name change. So it doesn't matter how you start off and the character that you have. This lets us understand and know that God will take us through a process of changing us. And what people used to know about us, they will no longer be able to say that that is who we are. That they will no longer be able to say that that's the character that we display, because the Lord will change us in such a way that they will know that the God of heaven has done a miraculous work in us. Isaac loved or favored Esau because he was able to hunt game, venison, and he was able to bring it back, and he loved the way that he prepared it. Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob was more at home, stayed in tents. He did more administrative things. He did more things around that caused him to be more intellectual, more than his brother who was out and he was in the woods, and he was more apt to smelling like the wild and doing things that Jacob himself would not do. But Jacob also studied his brother and knew his brother's habits. When this happened, this is the beginning of what we know favoritism. And that favoritism, when we begin to favor people over another, especially children, it causes a rift in our family. This is evident in Jacob's flags later on, because what happens is this same favoritism goes into his children through the wives. They're competing for his love. They're competing for him. And so because of that, this same rift goes into his children, and it shows up in the fact that they hate the children that were of the woman that he loved. They did not like him. And so we see that with the book of Genesis, also with Joseph. His brothers hated him the more because his father loved him, because even Benjamin, because they were the children from the wife that he loved. And so we see this favoritism playing a part in everything that Jacob would do in his family life. But we understand that God is able to heal people that have been rejected, people that are being seen as the black sheep of the family. God is able to heal because you're chosen for something. You're chosen for a purpose greater than the pain of what you've experienced, of not feeling the love or the security or the acceptance of a family member, a mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncles, whoever it is. God is able to go in, and he's able to make that place whole, because he'll provide you with his love, but he'll also give you brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that will love you and accept you as mom, as a father, as a sister or a brother. They will be that what you need. God does not allow us to walk and not have what we needed emotionally, mentally, even physically in our lives, financially in our lives. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We just have to trust and let God do it in us, heal us from those areas that we are carrying rejection, we're carrying fear, even low self-esteem. Let him build us up so that whenever we go into those healthy relationships, we have a healthy attitude, a healthy perspective, and healthy outlook, and it's godly. That person does not become a God to us. We don't start worshiping that person more than God, because that's what happens when it's unhealed, in an unhealed place, an unwhole place. You start treating that person as if they're a God and that you have to have them in your life. But God uses those people to help us be whole in areas where we were not whole. So they're not a God unto us. And we have to keep them in the right perspective. That's why he wants us to be healed and whole, so that when we go into those godly relationships in the body of Christ, we're able to see it for what it is, and God is supplying our need according to his wishes. As we understand that generational curse is being birthed in Jacob's family, Esau comes to Jacob one day when he's very hungry, he's tired. He's come out of the field, and he saw that Jacob was cooking some stew that was red. And he said to his brother, "Give me some of this red stuff." And basically, the red stuff that he basically was talking about became known later as Edom. And this reddish part of him, his complexion, his skin, is what he was relating to the red stuff. And later on, he would inherit land that the ground was going to be red, and it was going to be in the same area. So that was going to be the trade of his people, that reddish, clayish color, the hairiness of them, their color. So we see that even in this, he was speaking to his destiny, speaking to where he was going. And Esau was very ruddy. His complexion was very, very, very red and he was very, he had a very strong desire for red things because of his complexion. Even the land, like I said, that he inherited was red land more than more in the color of his complexion. When Jacob asked Esau to trade or sell his birthright, he had studied his brother and knew his brother's habits. He knew that his brother had appetites that were always insatiable. He always had an appetite or a character that was not valued for the things of God. And so he had studied his brother and knew his brother well enough to know that when he came out of the out of the woods come from hunting, that he was going to be very, very hungry. And because he had not disciplined his appetite would always lead him. His appetite would always lead him. And we have to be careful when we have appetites that are not controlled. Even our spiritual appetite has to be controlled in this place where we are balanced. We cannot be off balance spiritually. There must be balance in our life when it comes to spiritual things, our family, how we handle our business, our work, ministry. There must be balance. So we cannot be so spiritual minded that we are no earthly good, that we cannot function and have a normal conversation or be a mom or a dad or a sister or what we need to be. There must be balance. So we have to control, even discipline, the appetites of our life that they flow in the balance of what they need to be. So we see here that his appetite was insatiable because even though he says, I'm about to starve, he was not going to starve if he didn't get food at that particular time, because it was not that he was not had not been eating. It was he had been hunting and he was weary and he was tired and, yes, he was hungry, but he was not going to die if he did not eat. But those were the words that he gave to his brother. When he gave these words to his brother knew then that he had him because he would do whatever he wanted him to do to get some food. So he basically said, swear to me that you're going to give me, sell me your birthright. And the birthright was given to the oldest male, and it was a double portion of the estate of the family. The family would, like, as I said yesterday, the family would give, the father would give something if there was other sons to them, but it would not be the portion that the eldest son would get. And when it came to Isaac was not just giving him a birthright, but he was also giving him the privilege of inheriting the everlasting covenant with God, and that was the difference. Now, Jacob wanted this. He understood, and it was already preordained because God had already chose Jacob over Esau. God had already preordained that he would be the one. He told his mother that he would, the younger was going to be the leader and the older would serve the younger. So it was already there. The problem was this: when Esau did this, he despised something that was godly and holy. He despised the inheritance that God was giving to his family. He despised it. And the book of Numbers 15 lets us know about this. It lets us understand that. It lets us understand that we are not supposed to do that. Numbers 15 and verse 31 says this. 30 and 31 says this. But the person who does only presumptuous, who only does anything presumptuously, whether he is a native or born as a slave, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people because he despises the word of the Lord and he has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off, and his guilt shall be upon him. We also see this in 2 Samuel 12 and 9 when David despised the word of the Lord when he took Uriah the Hittite's wife and he broke the commandments of God. And it also speaks of this in Malachi 1 and 6 when God is talking about the priest who despised his name. I don't have any time further to go into this, but we'll pick it up tomorrow. I pray that you've been encouraged. Don't despise the things that God is doing in your life. Don't despise them, but know that what God has for you is for you. And whether you can see it or not, it is something that's going to be a blessing not only to you, but to the kingdom of God and to God. So don't despise what he's doing in your life, your gifting, your anointing. Use it for the glory of God and know that God is God. I'm Pastor Cheryl Fasten. We'll be back tomorrow for another 15 minutes of empowerment of favor life. God bless you.